I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Oh, I can boogie-woogie, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Scotland are back in business, and England were victorious. It's Friday, 13th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vinushna Hantharaja.
Well, 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 what a fabulous Friday we've got for you, especially if you're a wee Scottish person.
Friday the 13th as well.
My goodness.
Reason to be very frightened, and that's not just Vichy's moustache.
Oh, flower of Scotland.
My goodness. Before we get into that, gentlemen, a little mention for On the Continent. It's out now this week. Dotton and Andy were joined by Miguel Delaney to unpack some of the travel restrictions for players in Italy. And what exactly was behind Real Madrid's shock 4-1 defeat to Valencia last Sunday? It did happen. There's also a fascinating chat about the difficult decisions faced by international players with dual nationality. Just head over to Football Ramble Presents, wherever you get your pods.
Yeah, very nice.
Oh, my goodness. Gentlemen, Scotland are back in the big leagues.
The scenes alone were incredible. Everyone was crying.
Yeah.
And the interviewer who interviewed, I think, Ryan Christie, said... I can see the emotion, Ryan. I'm crying myself.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, let's be a bit professional.
Did you see the bit?
It was
the
a
end.
Brilliant interview, though.
Yeah, it was.
When he signed off at the end, he went, go on, you dancer.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I saw that as well. Yeah, exactly. Well, amazing scenes.
It really was. I mean, flipping it, where to begin? I mean, 22 years, it's been a long, long time.
Yeah.
Growing up, as we did, Luke, in the 80s and 90s,
yeah.
You used to see in Scotland at tournaments. Then, of course, in 98, that was the end of that. But they're back. I mean, and they've done it through the UEFA Nations League.
Yeah, Tommy Boyd got them banned after that with that own goal, didn't he?
Okay,
the own goal was so poor that you will begin to take a serious absence from the international game as a result.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they even lost in a playoff to Keegan's England.
Yeah, well, that's how
Euro
bad it's got.
That was the real low.
But it'll be, obviously, it's Euro 2020 technically, but it'll be 23 years by the time it comes around. That is a long absence for a team.
Oh, yeah. I've been fooled by the UEFA marketing campaign.
The branding. But for a team, particularly now, who produce decent players. I mean, if you look at the lineup they put out last night, and obviously we'll come onto the game, but they've got some decent players now.
Mm-hmm.
And the Euros, as we know, has become much easier to qualify for. Now, mm-hmm. I understand Scotland have done it through a slightly different route this time, but it's great to see them back there. It's an amazing thing. And they'll play England, as things stand, at Wembley 25 years and 3 days after Euro 96, which was a golden time. For those of you who are listening who are under the age of, I don't know, what, 25?
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah, it was great, trust me. It was really good. Yeah. So it was an amazing thing. I was beyond gutted, just because I'd invested a lot in the game watching it, to see them concede like that in the final minute. And just thought, oh, I'm not sure they're going to do it now. But they were able to turn it around, and good for them, because I'm happy to see him there. I'm happy to see the jubilant scenes in the studio. I'm happy to see the tears. It was just great. It was a great thing.
Happy to see a little bit of Boogie Woogie Vish.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I like the fact that I didn't realise until maybe the 15th time of watching that video of them dancing that Andrew Considine was actually in there as well.
Yeah, was he?
Yeah. So it's from Andrew, like for those who don't know, it's from Andrew Considine's Stag video from about 2015, I think 5 or 6 years ago. Where they make him dress up and do this boogie woogie song.
Yeah, but it's like a music video.
Yeah, it's a proper music video.
Right, okay.
Great production value.
Yeah, let's say.
And so it resurfaced when he got called up for Scotland for the first time, and he's obviously quite a popular lad. And yeah, apparently they've been singing it all the way through, and then they went mad then. Yeah,
and they'll be singing it when they tear the goalpost down at Wembley when they inevitably beat England.
Yeah. Well, the other part of that is as things stand, and hopefully this does prove to be the case come next summer, but they will be also playing a game at Hampden Park as well.
Well, they're playing two there, I think.
Well, yeah, okay, so I mean, that'd be great, yeah, if they can get some, I suppose, yeah, hopefully they can get fans in, but even not, if they can play a major tournament game, then that'd be pretty cool.
Well, they've got a chance. I mean, for crying out loud, you know, it's all about taking it, isn't it? I mean, as you say, Luke, they didn't qualify through the group in the sort of traditional means, but UEFA Nations League opened it up, as North Macedonia will testify to, and they've taken that, and you know, the game against Israel was a very dull affair.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
It's one of the shittest games I've ever seen. It was.
Don't have to bring that up. They're a changed team.
I was going
to
say, it was a distant.
He just brought up a 43-year-old crossbar being pulled down. It was only a month ago.
That was a positive memory for Scottish people. But against Israel, you know, it wasn't a great game, but they got through. That's what it's all about, getting through. And we saw Stevie Clark crack a smile, which was quite new for many of us. And then they get to the final, and you think, oh, away in Serbia, okay, the fans aren't there, but they're still away.
I think the fans was a bit of a bonus, to say the least.
It is, but they're still second favourites in that game.
100%.
You know, Serbia have got some decent players, and they are at home. And you think, you know, one-off game. And as soon as the game starts, Scotland, they were brilliant. That 90 minutes, Ali McCoist said himself, Sir Ali McCoist, I think, by the end of his punditry.
It's only a matter of time.
Exactly, yeah. he said that it's the best Scotland performance he'd seen in years. And my goodness, they were tenacious in the tackle. They were well-drilled. They were creative. I mean, it was absolutely sensational. One of the biggest compliments I think I could pay for them is they looked like they had an extra man.
Yeah,
every time Serbia had the ball, you look around and you think, well, they've got nothing. It was like they had 10 men against 11. They were so well organised.
They asserted themselves on the game from the very start, didn't they? And they were able to set the pace. They didn't let football happen to them, as Jim Campbell sometimes says about certain teams. They asserted themselves really, really well. And you know, I wonder if Serbia kind of underestimated them a little bit. I wonder if Serbia thought, do you know what? Scotland at home, we'll take that because Scotland's record.
Right, and they would take that. Poor.
Of course they would. Mm. But Scotland were by far the better team. There's no question about that. Serbia didn't really offer much. Mm-hmm. But for them to concede the way they did in the last, I think it was like 89 minutes and 25 seconds or something.
Yeah.
You just thought, oh God, they're going to have to lift themselves here. And they did cede control of the game after that. I don't know if you guys felt the same, but in extra time, it felt a bit like there had been a shift. They'd ceded control of the game, mm-hmm. and they were almost, for no real reason, other than the fact that maybe they were tired because of the way the calendar mm-hmm. is now and because it's, you know, a difficult away trip, it felt like they were holding on a bit.
Do you know what it reminded me of? And Scotland fans won't thank me for bringing up one of England's. It reminded me a little bit of England v Colombia.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah,
do you think?
I agree. I completely agree.
With that, England, you know, it was a fairly sort of England playing well. They went ahead as Scotland did, and then they looked fairly comfortable and in control. And then, of course, the downward header right in the last minute from
Yerry Mina. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then in the first half of extra time, Colombia looked like they were going to win the game. England came back into it.
The main difference being that Colombia tried to kick the shit out of England for an hour, for 120 minutes. But Serbia, to be fair, they missed.
Yeah, well, the main difference, of course, is that England did miss a spot kick in that shootout. Scotland have yet to miss a penalty in penalty shootouts in their competitive history, which is a fine record, Vish, one has to say. But when Serbia got that equaliser, the way they celebrated as well, they thought, oh, okay, come on, we'll probably go on and win this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Scotland, well, rather, a previous Scotland side lose that game, don't they?
Yes, definitely. Oh, yeah.
And understandably so, because when you get that sucker punch, you know, you mentioned England-Colombia there, that was exactly my thought.
But get the monkey off your back kind of thing, because as Steve Clarke said, it's often glorious failure, it's often we do this. And when they scored, I did think, oh no, lads, surely not. After that performance, and so close to this tournament, and I thought, Serbia will win this in extra time, or Scotland will win it on penalties.
I wanted big Lyndon Dykes to be mentioned because he was class,
wasn't he? Yeah.
That was the biggest shift since I did back-to-back doubles at Asda in 1998, which still has lived long in the memory down in Gosport. He caused absolute havoc all over the pitch. It must have been a nightmare planning. He won every single header.
Yeah, he was good, wasn't he?
He was winning headers he wasn't even playing in games on. It was mad.
You'll
watch a game tomorrow, and from nowhere out of camera shot, Lyndon Dykes will come in full Scotland kit and just massively power a header. It was an unbelievable shift from him.
Yeah.
I don't think they should have taken him off.
Do you think the Serbia centre backs are like waking up with cold sweat just hearing Lyndon?
I think they're probably thinking, if it's going to be like that, I don't want to be there.
No.
Yeah.
I'd rather stay home.
Darren Fletcher made a really good point, and he said,
Was it about Vine? I want to see Vines. I want to see memes.
I tell you what, the Magna Carta are going to be a state tonight, isn't it? Yeah.
Somebody set up a MySpace page for Big Marsh.
He said that Lyndon Dykes had the kind of performance of a striker where everything stuck to him, where he made bad passes look good. Because a lot of the balls that he was chasing were lost causes, but because he got them under control so easily and brought other people into play, it looked more like a coherent plan.
But it's so crucial as well when you're away from home against a better side. And now they were the better team, though, Scotland, as we say. But to have that sticking point up front to bring others into play. I mean, you saw Ryan Christie was superb as well.
He was.
And someone should have told him. He was very upset after the game. You know, scored a lovely little goal. Lovely goal. I say little because he just sort of passed it. Do you know what I mean? It was
snuck in the corner.
Absolutely glorious in off the post, of course. And they did have a couple of moments where you thought maybe we'd get the second. But to be honest, they looked pretty comfortable in defence. I thought Gallagher did a great job on Mitrovic. He really kept him quiet. And then, of course, McTominay playing in a back through, who did well. It shows you just switched off for that equaliser. And the story could be oh so different, couldn't it? Because the nice header from Jovic. And one all, you think, oh, surely not. But then Marshall made a huge save in extra time. Absolutely magnificent save. And they get it to penalties. And you thought to yourself, well, then there was the chat about the Serbian goalkeeper who'd saved four of seven penalties this season.
He's got a bit of a reputation of saving penalties,
But Lee Griffiths, I thought, what was his first touch of the ball? First meaningful touch really slots in. And the way the penalties were going, and when Mitrovic stepped up, I know it's easy to say and so on, but I have seen that man sadly miss a fair few penalties for Fulham. Even though it wasn't a bad penalty, actually. It was a great save.
Good save.
You called that, though, didn't you? You said, oh, yeah, Mitro's got a bit of that in him.
Yeah, well, he's just missed a few, but
But I feel that kind of takes away from the save, actually, because it wasn't like he just sort of, he didn't do an Adamola Lookman and just tap it to the keeper, or he didn't hit it over the bar. It was in the corner, and it was a superb save from Marshall.
The thing I find with Mitro in that situation is, and I agree with whichever pundit it was who said it, that he's the main man, right? So he wants to be seen as being the guy who takes the fifth pen.
I disagreed with Fletcher when he said that, actually, when he said Mitrovic said wants the glory and all that kind of stuff. I think
it's responsibility.
Yeah,
that might be a kinder way of putting it. I mean, ultimately, it's been done by design that he's taken the fifth penalty because they plan who takes the
penalty. Sure, yeah.
So maybe if we're being unfair to him, maybe it's because he wants the glory. If we're being fair to him, it's because he takes the responsibility, fine. My point was just going to be that, you know, it's a big moment, this, right? And I know I've talked about this before, but I don't know why someone of the quality of Mitrovic, who can strike the ball so well, doesn't just smash it, just smash the lever off it. Mm. There's no way a keeper will save it if it goes towards the corners of the goal, not even right in the corner. If you hit it hard enough, keeper can't save it.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but he did stick it in the corner, though. He did put it down to that side.
Would some people suggest that Marshall was maybe off his line?
And that's the VAR wouldn't.
And that's why, but there's no VAR, though, is there, for that?
Well, you sure? But you saw the replay. He had his foot on the line. Of all the keepers, you're bringing that up. I mean, to be fair to him,
hasn't he got to be both feet, though?
No, you can only...
As long as you've got one, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, it's a new technique that you see keepers doing now, where they push off and they make sure they're almost taken off from the line.
Or right, behind the line, you see sometimes, just standing at touch. I was going to say, I mean, to be fair to Marshall, he did check.
Yeah. And double check.
Was he checking that, or was he checking if the maths were right?
No, he was checking because...
He was at the point where he had his thumbs up, that's fine. Yeah.
Is that right?
Can I go fucking mental now?
You see that? I saved it. You see me save it? I did it.
Well, I thought he was checking his maths, but then they said that after the game that the referee said, don't celebrate because we need to make sure.
Okay,
but they got it spot on. If you saw the replays,
fair enough. I don't want to take anything away from him anyway.
It would have been absolutely gutting. Yes. Sorry, son.
Imagine that. All in a pile on it. And he just tapped on the shot. Sorry, Dave.
Yeah.
Do you want to just get back up?
Well, the funny thing for Marshall was he's looking at the referee going, is that okay? Please say yes quickly, because there's about 15 blokes there heading over it and they are just seconds away from me.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah, it's like Vish trying to get his name out before the music kicks in.
Just thumbs up to everyone. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. The worrying thing, though, looking ahead to the tournament for England, is that Yuri Geller looks like he's changed sides.
Yuri Geller is a fucking idiot.
Come on.
He is.
He's got power. He's proved it yet again.
Do you reckon he did that for every pen?
Probably,
he released a video of him with a Scotland shirt saying, Mitro's going to miss.
Did you see his little recorder on record playback? For those who didn't see, Yuri Geller, you all know who he is, was standing in front of the TV holding up a Euro 96 Scotland shirt saying, you know, I've got the power.
We've
or something.
All moved on.
No, he hasn't.
We, for those who don't remember, he claimed that he was able to get the ball moving on the spot for Gary McAllister's penalty against England, which David Seaman saved. Is that right?
From a helicopter above Wembley. Yeah.
And it does move quite oddly.
Yeah.
Don't forget Geller bailed us out of that situation.
Will there be a parade in Scotland for Yuri Geller?
Well, he does own an island in Scotland.
Okay.
He owns Lamb Island, as it's often called. It was purchased on the 11th of February 2009, according to Lamb Island's Wikipedia page. The island was bought by Yuri Geller, who states that he believes it is a hiding place for ancient Egyptian treasure.
Is this made up? Is someone on the Wikipedia?
I don't know, but Geller does own an island. He said, everybody to my island. It's uninhabited, apparently.
Is he all right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to come. I just don't want to come, thanks. I'm all right.
Yeah, well, you go there, and you... Anyway.
So, imagine like, David Marshall getting home to his family. Anyway, I'm just quick turn around, and get changed. I do want to celebrate with you, but I've got to go to this island with Yuri Geller.
Yeah.
That is intervention stuff. Isn't it?
I absolutely love it.
Yeah,
I bloody love it. So they're there, and they're going to be. They're going to be at Wembley.
Good on them, and not on Yuri Geller.
Sadly, Northern Ireland will not be joining us at the Euros. Oh my goodness,
sad. Sad.
I mean, yeah, Slovakia, great for them, of course. And Scotland plays Slovakia on the weekend, and as people have quite rightly said, that could be a rather hazy affair for some of those players. But Northern Ireland, yeah, I mean, you look at the goals that were conceded. I think avoidable, and then you think of the chance that Evans had right at the end of extra time. I mean, not, I understand he had to generate his own power on the header, but all in all, again, a home game against Slovakia, they did have a few fans, was it about 1,000 in there. It's gutting for Northern Ireland, it really, really is.
Yeah.
They've done so well to get there, and obviously they made the Euros last time around. There was a big moment with Carl Lafferty, and I know it's harsh to kind of hone in on these things, Vish, they did on the highlights last night on the television. He could have played it to his left, played the man on his left, and then he had the chance to play him on his right. And the thing is, if he slots that in the bottom corner, you know, you think, oh, well, there we are. But as I say, a bit harsh to maybe focus on that. But it's gutting, though. All those moments considered, you know, they'll think to themselves this morning, how are we not there?
Yeah, and again, the way they came back, I was kind of like, well, I mean, they're almost about the same time, weren't they? I know Northern Ireland equalised a few minutes earlier before Serbia did, but... Yeah, it kind of felt like we were going to have that full house, really. I mean, aside from teams we've missed out from these shores. Yeah. But I feel really bad for them. And this kind of felt like, you know, I feel like we've watched Carl Lafferty for the last 30 years. Mm. You know, he's been an ever-present around football, specifically in Irish football. And he picked up the mantle from David Healy brilliantly well, to be honest, coming up with really important goals. Even Northern Ireland have always had that quality where... the players will come together from the national team and almost leave whatever form or lack of form they have at their clubs and really bind together. And yeah, Lafferty, along with someone like Johnny Evans, this is probably the end, really, when you think about it. I saw people talking about this is, you could count this as the third golden generation that Northern Ireland have had. And they've given them so many good memories over the last 2 to 3 years. And it's a huge shame.
Well, the galling part of it, I suppose, from the point of view of a Northern Ireland fan, would be Slovakia is exactly the kind of team that you saw Northern Ireland beat on the way to Euro 2016. Mm-hmm. When they topped their group and they beat Hungary, they beat Romania, I think. Mm-hmm. They finished above them in a group, certainly. Finland were in a group as well. Greece, Greece were in a sorry state at the time, weren't they? They were having a real difficult time of it. But those middling nations, when Northern Ireland had their real moment in the sun in 2016, those were the teams they were beating. Mm-hmm. And I think they even went to Hungary and won, didn't they? They won in Hungary. Maybe they didn't beat Romania, but they finished above them in the group.
They had
some
great results.
Yeah, and the manner of the game as well, where they push and push and push. They forced their own goal late on from Skriniar, wasn't it? They just miss out. It's disappointing, very disappointing.
Yeah, it's a shame. And it would have been nice to see all four home nations, as you say, at the Euros, which would have been a real collector's item. Although I should say, by the way, that if you remember when we did our predictions from last season, we unveiled them, my prediction... was because of the pandemic and all the rest of it, we couldn't say, and I can now reveal my prediction was, for the first time since 1958, England, Scotland and Wales will qualify for a major tournament.
It wasn't, was it?
It was.
It was. Yeah. Well done. Well, good.
There we are. You. Well done again.
Yuri Speller.
Now you're talking. Yeah. Now you're talking.
I saw him bend a spoon earlier. I think it was a spoon.
I think so. Yeah. Elsewhere, gentlemen, we have to mention North Macedonia, who were in the lowest ranked tier of the UEFA Nations League. They're at the tournament now, and have obviously Goran Pandev scored the only goal of the game. 37-year-old, 114 caps.
Yeah,
that man. He was crying at the end of the game. This is a guy, Champions League winner. You know, won the treble with. It was a vital part of Mourinho's Inter. You know, he's very highly decorated footballer. He's played some real sort of great stuff in his career, if you don't know him.
That's a great years at Lazio as well.
He did, a phenomenal player, and so wonderful for him and North Macedonia.
Moment for them.
Well, it had to be him. I mean, Vish, if you're thinking, who got the goal for North Macedonia, you're thinking, well, I've only got one option here.
If you ask that question in 20 years' time, it might still be Goran Pandev.
Well, I suppose, what's his name? He plays for Leeds, maybe you could have...
Alioski.
But yeah, I did marvellous for them, and marvellous for Hungary as well. Oh, Iceland will be gutted. Because that was a hell of a turnaround.
It was an amazing goal on the break to win it.
Yes, it was.
From a player that everyone's excited about.
Yeah.
Plays for a lot, Salzburg, doesn't he?
Yeah,
people are excited about it. He's been linked to it with a few big moves. But for him to, in that portion of the game when, you know, fatigue is setting in, for him to go that round and hit that in off the post, a beautiful goal. Amazing for them.
But the goalkeeper of Hungary would have been breathing a sigh of relief because it was his mistake, wasn't
big
it?
Big time. Early on, they turned it
I was surprised, actually. I thought Iceland would go there and do the job. But Hungary are back at the Euros, as they were in 2016.
Well, maybe Iceland and Northern Ireland can do a kind of the spirit of 2016 kind of reunion tour.
Can they?
They play each other, go around different nations. Mm-hmm. Remember when it was 2016 and it was great? Could do that, couldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, it would be quite degrading, wouldn't it?
That'll make them think twice about what they did to us, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah? Exactly.
Where's
your
Viking clap now? Yeah. Yeah? Viking tears.
Don't worry, the Scotland fans will be doing that at Wembley. Yeah. Remember this, lads. Harry Kane's going, hang on, what's that Southgate showing? Don't worry. Yeah. Where's the memory wiper? Quick.
I know I mentioned this before we started recording, but mm-hmm. does Gareth Southgate's tenure end with a draw against Scotland in the Euros next year?
Well, I don't know. Is it the final group game against
Scotland? No, it's the second one.
Okay.
So if England lose their
the one that makes a third game out of their hands. No, results go their way elsewhere.
I was thinking that Croatia would beat England in the first game and Scotland put England out, and it's kind of like, oh, Gareth, yeah, we expected so much more.
Yeah, I think Gareth's credit in the bank, so to speak, will well and truly be used up by that point. If that happens. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Get the waistcoat. It's too late for the waistcoat, Gareth.
Yeah,
Forget it.
Oh, dear. All right, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, we will talk about England. See you in a moment.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/ramble.
Wrestle Me is a show where two men watch every WrestleMania from 1 to 37, unpicking the multicoloured threads that tie it all together.
I think it's slightly something to do with the fact that Americans don't really like cell phones, do they?
Right.
I think they've all got basic ones, basically.
That's a big shout.
It is a big shout, but I mean, there is something funny about it, like text messaging never took off in the States.
What? Come on now.
Never been big.
Whether you're a lapsed fan or someone who doesn't give a flying laureate about it, there's something for everyone.
If you can get a crowd to boo you for kicking a fabulous ladder.
Fabulous ladder.
And the crowd are booing.
Yeah.
Get off that lovely ladder we've just learned about.
It's a beautiful polysexual ladder.
It's a beautiful and a bit of shabby chic creation.
If you climb up to it, ecstasy can be found at the top.
Listen via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your pods.
Wrestle Me is a Stakhanov production.
Hello, I am Sven-Göran Eriksson, and you are listening to the Football Ramble.
Oh, there he is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway. Before we talk about England, let's have some emails.
Just email show at footballramble.com right now.
Well Well done indeed. Now we have an email here from Ollie King. Dear Ramble team, I was very happy to hear you touch on the prestigious Epsom and Newell Under-9s League this week.
That's not far from where you spent a bit of time, isn't it?
It was very close, yeah. Ashted is next to Epsom.
Yeah.
Of course. Matt Elliott once played for Epsom Eagles, I believe.
There we go.
Went on to play for Scotland, of course, because he couldn't play for England.
No.
Because he wasn't good enough.
he won't let Scotland have their day.
I know,
it's a dig, isn't it?
No, I mean, it's more Matt Elliott.
Yeah, but you're implying that England are better than Scotland.
No, I'm not having a guy. I worked with him once. And
you didn't like him?
No, he's a lovely fella.
And you thought, from now on, I'm going to make your life a misery.
Not your favourite Leicester centre-back, though, is he?
Certainly not. But
Jerry Taggart, he loves Jerry Taggart.
Big Jezza. give it a mozzie! Matt Elliott, he said in front of the packed crowd where we were doing this gig in Euro 2012, that was all the way back then, that when he played for Scotland, they didn't do very well when he was playing. He was like, yeah, no, I was a double agent. So they're words, Vish, not mine.
Yeah.
Back to Ollie King's email. Yes, he was very happy to hear about Epsom Newell Under-9s League. I also used to referee this league when I was 16, and now it's in the spotlight. There's something I must say. There's a spotlight on it, I suppose. While refereeing a game, I gave a decision which one of the ruthless 9-year-olds was unhappy about. He shot his left arm up in the air in rage, gave me the middle finger. I promptly took appropriate action, sending him off, much to the shock of the crowd. My dad was watching the game and came up to me afterwards asking why I'd sent him off. I explained the situation and he very quickly disagreed with me, saying no middle finger was raised. Coincidentally, I had an eye test later that week where it turned out I was very short-sighted. Having seen the world through my fresh new specs, I immediately knew I'd made a mistake. Please, may I use your platform to apologise for many possibly horrendous decisions made in the first half of the 11-12 season. You deserved better.
He could have ruined some careers there.
He could have done, yeah. My goodness.
That kid is now a 19, 20-year-old. And probably hates the game. Hate any kind of authority now.
We need to get Charlie Nicholas in to say to him, well, you should go to Specsavers Ref because you won't even wear your glasses when you're driving your car because you think, you should have done that.
He should have done. Maybe he did.
I've got an email here from Sean Howe. Greeting, Ramblers. Listening to Andy's story about forgetting his watch while reffing in Sunday League reminded me of a similar situation I encountered a few years ago. It was a cold Monday evening, and I decided to pop down to my local team, Hastings United, where the under-18s were playing the FA Youth Cup. Unfortunately, I'd arrived 5 minutes late and missed the game's only goal, but it would turn out I'd watched more than 90 minutes of football anyway. As the 90th minute approached, we looked longingly towards the sideline for the announcement of stoppage time, as it was blindingly obvious the young youths were not going to get anything from this game. But there was no sign of the game stopping. The crowd began to feel uneasy, looking at their watches and phones. I'm sure we've played 95 minutes. Did we miss the board? And other more fruity quotes echoed around the ground. Still nothing. It was at this moment I realised that it was probably what was probably happening. The game was a 7:30 p.m. kickoff, but the ref must have been on autopilot thinking it was 7:45. Then followed the most depressing 10 minutes of football I've ever seen. Fans, coaches, and even some of the players were pleading with the ref to stop the game, only to be met with a steadfast denial from the man in the centre. The knackered Hastings team were experiencing what can only be described as death by a thousand misplaced passes. Eventually, the final whistle blew after what inadvertently became 17 minutes of stoppage time, and we could finally escape, as a retractable tunnel had been blocking our escape route for the entirety of the shambles. At least I got my money's worth.
That is unbelievable. But listen, referees are human beings as well. Where's the fourth? At that level, maybe the fourth isn't able to communicate with the referee and say, come on. Let's have a final whistle here.
You'd start crying, wouldn't you? I don't know why, but that reminded me, there was this indie band in the early 2000s. I don't think they were particularly big, but they had a song which
What was
their
name?
I can't remember. I can't remember. But they started with one of their songs started with an intro that sounded a lot like My Sharona.
Okay.
And so they would play gigs and people would shout My Sharona just as they come into their actual song.
Yeah.
And one day, they're playing a gig of about 200 people and someone shouted this and they were like, fuck it, we're going to play My Sharona. Mm. And so they played the intro to My Sharona for an hour and a half.
No.
And apparently 20 minutes in, people were like, people were going along with it. And 20 minutes in, they were like, hold on, he's not going to stop, is he?
Wow.
And apparently by 40 minutes, people were crying.
No.
That's crazy.
That's absolutely incredible. I think he was in Seattle. I think there's information
so
available
for
online.
There's a story about Neil Young, who was really cantankerous back in the 70s, and he wanted just to play all his new stuff. And so when he played a massive show, he's a really big recording artist at the time. And he came out and all he played was songs from an album that hadn't come out yet, that was coming out like next week or whatever. And he could tell people were getting more and more annoyed about it because they wanted to hear all the classic songs. But he didn't give a shit. And at the very end, he said, okay, all right, I'll play one that you might have heard before. And everyone started cheering. And he just played the first song again.
That's very good.
There we go.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. That were the emails.
That were... Just email show.
All right, gentlemen, let's talk about England. Hey, another win, another clean sheet. My goodness, we're gathering momentum, aren't we?
It is like a runaway freight train.
Everything's coming up Southgate.
Belgium are just thinking, please don't stop at our station. We are stopping at your station,
oh,
Belgium.
We are.
Next.
We bloody well are.
Yeah.
In a 3-4-3 formation.
Tickets, please.
Yeah. Chew fucking chew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me. Ireland, not very good at all.
It wasn't a vintage performance by them.
They started quite brightly, actually. And then they soon sort of tailed off. I mean, the win streak is now 6 matches. They're not scoring goals. And Matt Doherty said, it's frustrating. I feel embarrassed sometimes when I come off the pitch because we're losing games, conceding goals, and not scoring. It's not nice. And I feel a bit sorry for him because I see what sort of Kenny's trying to do. I think that he's trying to make them a little bit more attacking. Because that's obviously not what you get with old Miko McCarthy. Mm. I mean, they should have beaten Slovakia in that game and they should have been playing Northern Ireland, but of course that's all done and dusted now. But England, I mean, it was... Roy Keane was likening it to a training match. Mm. And obviously with no fans in the stadium, it was a kind of hastily organised friendly, you know, so there wasn't much to it, so there's not much to go on. But of course, Fish, all this chat about Mason Mount and Jack Grealish, both of them in the starting lineup.
Yeah. I don't see why it couldn't have happened before, but it does make sense that with Mount playing in that more withdrawn position, as someone who, you know, when you see what he does at Chelsea, it'd probably end up being something he does more long-term, considering their attacking talent, where he'd be, pushed back into midfield more and therefore, you know, have the energy and tactical nous to work around that and do all the pressing and do everything in between. Very good on the ball, obviously. And, yeah, I thought it was the... This game was, if we've got anything from this game, it's hopefully to nip that Grealish versus Mount bullet in the bud, because I think it's not been particularly helpful for either of them, actually. You know, even though Grealish is the one who's been garnering all the support, I don't think he's helped by that, and I don't think England as a whole are going to be benefiting from having two players seemingly at odds with each other, even though they're not actually at odds with each other.
Everything's so polarised, isn't it, these days?
Yeah,
you can't. Yeah. I think Grealish is handy, but... you're not a Mason Mount, man? You're a scumbag.
Yeah.
Blimey.
I think if I could make a possibly by now trademark big shout, it would be that if you're going to play three up front and you're England, you've got to play Grealish off the left.
Yeah.
You have to play him.
I completely agree.
See what the reason would be to not play him now.
Well, I think, I think that it's interesting with the formation with the 3-4-3, because I think that against lesser teams or weaker teams, I can see how that formation would kind of lend itself a bit. I actually think against better teams, I think England would be better off with 4-3-3. I know there's that whole kind of, we don't trust the defence and you want to shore up the defence with three in there, but I don't know.
A lot of people think that you need to have three in the middle in international football. That's the
defence or midfield?
Midfield.
Yeah, exactly. I think if you can have a shield to the back line as well, if you're concerned, and I understand the concerns. But one of the positives was, you know, even though it was a very pedestrian friendly, as Maguire, you know, it was a clean sheet and he scored a goal. And you might say, well, that doesn't really mean much. But for the players' individual confidence, then that means something, I think.
You'd rather win a game and not win it.
Well, exactly.
For sure. And you'd rather, I mean, particularly someone like Maguire, who's had a bit of a sticky patch.
Negative press.
Yeah, to get a good commanding performance in. I don't want to be disrespectful to Ireland, but I don't think overall England were up against March last night. But Maguire still was able to put a commanding performance in. I thought Saka on the left was outstanding as well.
Oh, he should have scored.
He should have.
That was such, would have been such a lovely. Tyrone Mings would have been like, that could have been an assist.
Yeah.
You idiot.
Yeah. I will not make a better assist than that in my career. It was a really poor finish, you have to say.
I know, it was such a show.
Generally speaking, he was fantastic. Grealish has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Reece James as well.
He's outstanding. I think he's the, as I said before.
He's taken to it like a duck to water.
Yeah.
You sometimes get these players where, you know, some people need to bed in. That's totally understandable. And some people, you know, it just doesn't, never sort of quite has them. Some of them hit the ground running, and he looks like he could be one of those players. And when you have that, the manager will be like, well, hang on, this could save me a little bit of time.
He's a standout right back, for right side of defender for England. He's
certainly at the moment with Trent Alexander's form.
As well, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I think he does a lot of the same things that Trent Alexander does as well. I think the one of the interesting things when you talk to people who have covered Reece James's rise is that he's... They say this about a lot of young players, don't they? That they take a step up in their stride. And I think he's someone in particular who, because he started out as a midfielder, I think he's got really good spatial awareness. Mm. And so when he does go forward, he can cover in the middle as well. And he's done that a couple of times for Chelsea, actually. Mm-hmm. Lampard has used him to come on and kind of shore up the midfield. And so in that regard, he's a good squad player. But, I mean, I think you start him. He's got such great energy
as well.
He's a remarkable player. I know we've talked at length about the riches we have at right back, but I think having him there in particular, because he's got the defensive side specifically as well, and can go forward. I think we're in good shape. I'm not so much worried about the back, and I think Harry Maguire's performance was all the more important given the injury to Joe Gomez. Mm-hmm. It's more that left, actually.
Do you think?
Bukayo Saka is a brilliant player. I don't think I'm kind of worried that he might be seen as a long-term fit at that defensive left-side position because I think not only do we lose a bit of him going forward, and I think primarily actually he could easily be an option from coming in from the right, being a more dexterous front player. But I wonder if he might be a bit caught out there in those games. But as you said at the top of this point, if we're only playing against teams that we know England are going to see more of the ball, then maybe that's not a problem to worry about.
Mm-hmm. England are in a bit of a funny situation, though, for two reasons, I think. One, they need to settle on what team they want to play, and they need to get used to it pretty quick, because they've got two Nations League games coming up. I imagine there'll be, a couple organised for the spring before the Euros?
Yeah, usually.
There'll be friendlies.
There could be a couple, probably end of May or whenever it would be conducive. Who knows the
schedule?
So
you're going to have a handful of games from now until then. Mm-hmm. Right, they've got to sort out what they want to do, because against Iceland, they played four at the back, and they've played three at the back more recently with four in the midfield. And I think they played slightly differently in the game against Denmark, was it? They played 3-4-1-2, slightly differently, off the top of my head anyway, it doesn't matter. But the point being, they've got to settle. Mm-hmm. And secondly, they're in a situation where we all know, realistically, we can be confident now, although it was only 4 years ago, we can be confident now, I think, that a game against Iceland, like in 2016, probably is unlikely to happen now. Mm-hmm. England will beat teams like that. We saw it in 2018. They'll beat a Sweden. They'll beat a Colombia. And yeah, there might be a rocky patch along the way, as there was in against Colombia. But they'll beat these teams. But the problem isn't that. The problem is, even in 2018, when they have that amazing run, they lose to Belgium twice.
Yep.
You know, I don't think England... I know they've had a result against Belgium recently. But generally speaking, in a big tournament, there is not, and you guys around the table might be different to me, but I feel like there's no confidence at all that they're going to beat anyone good anytime soon. And that's a real problem. And I said that to Andy on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he said, well, you know, look at what happened with Germany. It took them ages to sort themselves out. And they invested in the process, and they stuck with people, and they eventually won the World Cup.
It's a bit different, Andy.
Yeah, it is different because England are fucking England.
I know, and Germany have got loads and loads of recent and long history of doing very well.
So I wonder what the solution to that is, and I wonder if, because we're England and because we got carried away in 2018 and we enjoyed it and it was a brilliant summer, it's been glossed over, the fact that they didn't play anyone that good and that it was the challenges that were beyond them.
And the team's very different now.
True, but is it better or is it worse, or is it just the experience? And we can't be in that position forever.
But he had his system. He knew the system, and the system, with a fortuitous draw, got them that far. But I think he is having a tink. It'll be interesting to see against Belgium, because that's Belgium will be wanting to win that game. I know there's no fans, and it's the same for everybody. So everybody's dragged down at the same level with regards to what's going on. And I mean the whole sort of Jack Grealish thing. I think you're right, Luke. I think having Grealish on the left gives such a different option. Because I think, the way Kane likes to drop deep sometimes and play in Sun, as it would be for Spurs, and then Sterling for England, that works quite nicely. But you don't have to have two similar wingers. I think sometimes, especially in this country,
true. People are obsessed almost with symmetry when it comes to formations, and they think, oh, well, the left winger has to be pacey. If the right winger's pacey, it'd have to be sort of quite similar. Because even Rashford and Sterling are slightly different players, you know. But you're going to have a right-footed, left-sided player, really, whoever comes in. And so I think the way Grealish is... But, I mean, Southgate himself said, you know, Grealish was good. He was really in really good form. He's playing in the areas we want him to play. But Southgate also says we're not as strong physically in midfield as we might normally be. And I suppose he could have been saying that in the context of just the Ireland game. But I think Southgate is aware of England's shortcomings, which is why it gives me a bit of hope, you know, that you don't hear some of the bluster that you heard from other England managers. I think he's quite realistic, Southgate.
Yeah, yeah, no, 100%. Well, he basically got the job off the back of tempering expectations, didn't he?
Well, he didn't want the job.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that for a start.
Which was also a masterstroke from the FA. Give the job to a bloke who doesn't want it and we'll be okay.
But also, you know, I suppose the circumstances around how he got into the job in the first place.
Sure.
I was trying to work it out in my head, and I figured that the best place to start on what I think would be an ideal England side is to essentially start from the midfield three and work outward. Mm. Because as you said there, you don't need to have symmetry with your wingers. You can have Grealish on one side and you can have whoever else on the other. But to allow them to do what they do further forward, you'll need certain players, like like having Mount where he was yesterday, who can kind of fill in the gaps around them so that we're not so lopsided, or even just having an option of breaking into the box at a certain time. And that's going to change depending on who, whether that's Grealish or whether that's Sancho or whether that's Rashford or Sterling.
And the opposition as well.
Yeah, of course. And so I think Southgate has in his head seven midfielders who give him a bit of dexterity everywhere else. And I think he's going to have to work out, and perhaps already has worked out, against certain types of opposition, who plays where and what that means for everywhere else. Because that, you know, Luke said, you got to play international football with the midfield three. Because of England are in a quite a blessed position where they have a lot of very different midfielders. Case in point being, James Ward-Prowse comes in on merit and plays a very different position. Hence that why, when he's injured, you don't call up Ross Barkley, you don't call up Maddison, you call up Bellingham. I think I'm going to have to trust him on this.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because I think he has an idea of, you know, what weaves into other areas of the field.
And that's the danger, though, isn't it? With previous England managers, we've gone, all right, Gerrard and Lampard, no, we've got to trust him, or, you know, or various others. Yeah. And you kind of go, yeah, it didn't work. I think how did you not see that?
Yeah.
With whether it would be Capello as well, or McLaren, or even poor old Roy Hodgson, you know, the results speak for themselves.
Without being too negative towards Gareth, because I know he's got a huge fan base in this studio.
He's earned it.
Yeah, fair enough. And he's the man of the job. And we should support him. We're England fans, and you know. But I think we have to be a little bit critical occasionally. Like, I know England got a positive result against Belgium. It was a bit of a weird game.
It was.
But if you look at the players that they had, it's too slow.
The game's not going to pan out like that in a tournament.
Rice and Henderson midfield in front of Maguire.
Well, this is
and
it.
Dyer. It's too slow.
Well, this is it.
Do that in international football.
If England are going to play two in the centre of midfield, they do not have a Patrick Vieira or a Roy Keane, or, do you know what I mean? Like, the real commanding, you know, or Kevin De Bruyne, you know, something like that, a bit more of a contemporary reference. And that's my concern. Whereas, when he played the midfield three at the World Cup and in the UEFA Nations League before, you do have a few different types of midfielders, as you say, Vish. And so Mount can play that sort of more shuttling role. That, like, remember, Dele Alli and Jesse Lingard played those two roles for England at the World Cup. It seems strange to think that now, but they did. And he got, you know, they got decent performances out of them. So I think that there's still a little bit of a way in terms of what Southgate's doing. But if he's thinking, I want two different systems, 3-4-3 and 4-3-3, then he's got that, hasn't he? So or he's working towards that.
You know, football hasn't changed that much. It really sometimes is about hold, give, and do it at the right time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And exactly. Grealish will get round the back.
Yeah. Exactly.
Marvellous. Gentlemen, before we go to four to score, we have to talk about what we surely think is the world's longest penalty ever taken, which happened in the Chilean first division. Now, on October the 15th, Curico Unido and Universidad Católica's game in the Chilean First Division was postponed while VAR was reviewing a penalty call. A fire caused a blackout in the stadium. The match was played on Wednesday this week, so restarting the penalty. The normal taker for Católica, Cesar Pinares, was sold and the Chilean FA had to authorise an extra sub.
Well, he's got to take it.
Yeah.
No, but he's not even in this city. He's got to take
it. He's playing for our rivals now. He's retired.
Well, he's got to save it as well.
He had to be retaken twice as the keeper stepped off his line twice. Not like David Marshall.
No.
It was eventually scored just shy of 654 hours after it was given.
Amazing. That is a VAR turnaround. Listen, imagine you had to wait that long for VAR.
Oh.
When the keeper stepped off his line the first time, do you reckon the referee was like, are you taking the piss?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Crying out ruddy loud.
If anyone out there can beat that, which I doubt.
Yeah.
That is the stars aligning for a ridiculous situation.
Indeed.
Four to score with Betway. It's now time for that. Entry to Betway's four to score is free. Each week you pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game for rather obvious reasons, and further T's and C's apply. Okay, four games. Game one, Portugal v France, Saturday night. Marcus.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
It's a textbook selection.
I've not done well this season. If I can bank on somebody doing the business.
One thing I forgot to mention earlier, because Cristiano Ronaldo just reminded me of Gareth Bale. Mm. Gareth Bale was present for the Wales game in the stand.
Yep.
I think he might have been watching the US Masters on his MacBook.
Oh my goodness.
He definitely had his MacBook open. And every time they cut to him, he wasn't really watching the game.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you're listening, Gareth, let us know what you were watching.
What were you watching? The US football?
Yes.
Yes.
The Masters, but where the old players play.
I watched the ball being knocked around.
These US Masters who have turned up here.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Cristiano Ronaldo. Game two, Switzerland v Spain. That's also Saturday night. Vish, you're up.
I'm going for Alvaro Morata.
Okay.
Mm. Because he's had a bit of a weird time of it, hasn't he? He's had a hat-trick disallowed. He's scoring, and I think he's going to get a legitimate one.
Yeah, he is Spanish as well, so he can play.
Yes, yeah, that was one of the things I had to check, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
That is key. Well, we'll take your word for that, Vish. Game three is Andy. It's Germany v Ukraine. Here's Andy's pick.
Morning, Ramblers. What an absolute delight to be doing Germany versus Ukraine this week on four to score. Now, Jogi Löw said after the win against Czech Republic this week that he's done with experimenting and he's going to pick the best team possible for this game against Ukraine, which we're assuming means none of the players who did very well but aren't first picks against Czech Republic aren't going to actually be involved. So, therefore, I think we've got to go with Serge Gnabry, 14 goals in 15 internationals and one of the best players in the world over the last year and a half. So, yeah, Gnabry, not Werner. Definitely not Werner. Yeah, definitely Serge Gnabry.
Thank you very much, Andy. You absolute windbag. 44 seconds, that was. Just pick a player.
We can't call my dad a windbag.
So your dad now?
Yeah, I want to adopt him as my dad. That's kind of my thing.
I don't think it works like that, does it?
Hang on. Well, it's my thing. Yeah, adopting dad. Also, just collecting them.
Well, no, just Brassels. Brassels is like a strong dad, isn't it?
It's embarrassing because you're about the same age as well.
Yeah, but I still need the guidance.
Okay. Andy's guidance.
Why not a guardian?
Yeah, you could be a guardian. It's just like in Curb Enthusiasm. It's like in Curb when Larry has an argument with Marty Funkhauser because Marty Funkhauser keeps calling it referring to himself as an orphan. And Larry Davis says, you're too old to call yourself an orphan now. Anyway.
Older brother, there you go.
Yeah, fine.
Right.
Serge Gnabry for Andy. Game four's me. It's Belgium v England. I've gone for Harry Kane.
Of course you have.
Because I'm sat next to Marcus and he's intimidating me to picking an England player.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So Cristiano Ronaldo, Alvaro Morata, Serge Gnabry, Harry Kane. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Betway's four to score is completely free to play, but you must be over the age of 18 and do gamble responsibly. Further T's and C's apply. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. All right, now it's time for this. One of those games is quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. It is time for Luke's game. It is the lineal champion, the people's champion,
oi, oi.
The Alan Boxich of Luke's game.
Woo!
Marcus Speller versus... Oh, it just says Vish, yeah?
I'm actually quite nervous. This is really sad.
It's annoying, isn't it, when you get nervous about stuff that really doesn't matter.
Chance for you to grab the title. The title's changed hands so many times. Pleased about it.
I'm so glad I got it. And now I feel I've moved. I've moved on from Tim Henman status, and I'm now sort of early stage Andy Murray.
But do you want to stay at the top, though? That's the thing, because the best people want to stay at the top. Are you just happy to be at the top?
More of a John Lydon than a John Legend.
You'll probably beat that lot of rubbish, won't you?
Yeah.
Fish, can I just confirm what's in your belly at the moment?
Just coffee, like an oat flat white.
Needs to be fire.
Yeah, it does.
Where's your head?
My head?
Yeah.
He's not got the memo.
No, he hasn't got it.
No.
Needs to be in the freezer.
It's a bad start.
If you've not got your fire in your belly or your head in the freezer, you're not going to succeed in this game. But you are.
Shall I walk out now?
No, he's bluffing.
Yeah, he is. You are first up because you're the challenger.
You little bluffer.
You know how the game works. You don't need me to tell you.
Dirty little bluffer.
I know you had a couple of weeks off because of laziness, but you should remember.
He's researching through this.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Ask him any player, he's got it.
Yeah. Right, okay. I will ask him a player.
Go on.
He's played for 8 clubs in total.
Oh.
He retired in 2013.
Yeah.
He is James Beattie.
Beatles.
Ooh.
James Beattie. By the way, I'm not going to get this fucking catchphrase of fire in the belly, head in the freezer, the catch on. If you're not going to fucking step up to the mark, all right? Next time, remember.
James Beattie. How long can I do this for?
You need to tell me a number now. I'm going to start getting harsher on this.
Yeah, I think you should.
Because it's going on for too long these days.
I'm going to say 3.
3. Marcus, do I hear 4 from you for James
Beattie? I'd like him to name his 3.
3 clubs? It's an opportunity for you here on to stamp your authority down this game.
Now I don't know.
3 clubs. Marcus has read you like a book.
I don't know. I think he's got this.
That James Beattie played for. One at a time, please, Vish.
Southampton.
That's correct. Built a whole career on about 3 months. Go ahead.
What a free kick against Chelsea, though.
Yeah. Blackburn Rovers.
That's also correct.
Here we go.
Started his career there.
This might be utterly wild. Did he play a bit for Rangers?
There it is. It's 1-0.
1-0, Vish. Blackburn Rovers, Southampton, a big money move to Everton. Sheffield United, Stoke City, Rangers, Blackpool, Sheffield United again, finished his career at Accrington Stanley.
Do you know what? Stoke was the one. I had those three and I thought, well, did he play for Stoke or am I thinking of Southampton?
Yeah, looks him wrong.
What a start for Vish.
All right, so it's 1-0 to Vish.
Mm-hmm. Let me add a little bit of spice to that.
Please do.
6 players up next.
Here we go. Alan Boxage?
6 teams up next for this player. An absolute giant of the game, a legend of the game, a royalty, whichever way you slice it. It's Clarence Seedorf.
Clary Seedorf?
Yeah.
My goodness.
6 clubs in total. Career from 1992 to 2014. How many of Clarence Seedorf's 6 clubs can you name, Marcus Speller?
It's a good one, that. That's a very good one. Come on, Seedorf.
I don't think you have the facilities for that, big man.
Have you got the facilities?
I've got 5.
Oh, that is nice. That is a bounce back. What a counterpunch that is. After going a point down. Vish, can you do all 6?
Do your 5.
Oh, okay. We want you to name your 5. One at a time then, please, Marcus. 5 clubs that Clarence Seedorf has turned out for.
Ajax.
Won the Champions League with him.
AC Milan.
Won the Champions League with them.
Real Madrid.
Won the Champions League with them.
Inter.
That's your 4.
Botafogo.
Oh, I love that. Very nice.
Could have said Sampdoria, though.
Very nice. You could have said Sampdoria. It would have been all 6.
Yeah.
Would have been all
Sampdoria was
6.
The one I thought, I'm pretty sure, but I thought I'd play it safe with 5.
I only had 5, yeah.
Did you?
Ajax, Sampdoria, Real Madrid, Inter Milan and Botafogo. Okay, Vish, you're up now. It's 1-1, all to play for. He's played for 11 clubs in total. He retired in 2011.
11, did you say, sorry?
11 clubs in total. Played and retired in 2011. All the 11s. Legs 11. It's Paul Dickoff.
Oh, Dico.
Oh, wow.
What a shout.
Big memories of Paul Dickoff coming to Fratton Park and everyone shouting, fuck off, Dickoff, fuck off, the whole game.
See, again, one of those players you just think, 11 bloody clubs, what a career.
Yeah, it's a great career.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you get a little bit more time because there's so many clubs. But if you take all day and then go two,
yeah,
you're not going to get much sympathy from the quizmaster.
No, certainly not.
Paul Dickov.
Yeah.
What was that noise?
Was that like David Marshall? Was it for the fourth Scotland penalty where he just missed it?
Yeah,
I feel so sorry for him.
Yeah.
I'm going to go four.
Oh, yeah.
Marcus, five?
I'd like him to name his four.
Oh, it's only just over... I mean, it's not even 50% of the team.
Yeah, I'm not that confident though about Paul.
All right, so four clubs, please, Vish.
I mean, I'm not particularly confident either, actually, thinking about
it's funny because I'm sort of like, I think he played for them.
Yeah, I'll do the two.
I admire the four, actually, to be honest.
Blackburn Rovers and Leicester City.
Can you please go one at a time? Because that's a blatant...
Leicester City, yeah.
That's a blatant flouting of the rules.
I think he's got this.
Two more.
Arsenal.
Started his career at Arsenal. Not oh, well, remember
play, fair play. You deserve this.
Coventry City.
Yeah.
Ooh. Coventry City, you say?
Yeah. No, that's fine.
Incorrect.
You're joking.
Nope.
That was one of the ones I had. Man City was the other one.
Oh, you fucking bellend.
I can't, but I thought
Manchester
he played...
Manchester City.
Well, I thought, when you said that, I thought you were going to say Man City, but I thought he played for Coventry.
It's 2-1 for Speller. Arsenal, Luton Town, Brighton and Hove Albion, Manchester City, Leicester City, Blackburn Rovers, Manchester City again, Crystal Palace, Blackpool, Leicester City again, Derby County, Leeds United and Oldham Athletic.
How have I done that?
Oh dear!
I'm quite shocked. I thought you had to have a Coventry.
Just right, just, blue.
It's 2-1 to Speller, and you're up first this time, Marcus.
I believe I am.
He's played for six clubs in total. Don't blame me. Blame the algorithm.
Oh, here we go.
It's Ian Wright.
Ian Wright, right.
Mm-hmm. Six clubs in total for the win, for the 3-1. To hear that beautiful jingle put together painstakingly by Pete Donaldson with the help of Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Six clubs?
Correct.
I'm going to do all six.
Oh, you can't move. You're checkmated, Vish. Put your notepad down, mate. Oh, put your clothes
on. I haven't got it yet.
All right, six clubs, please. All six.
I'm annoyed I didn't go for all six for Seedorf.
All six that Ian Wright's played for. This would be a vintage performance by the champion. Go on.
Crystal Palace.
Correct.
Arsenal.
Correct.
West Ham.
Correct.
Celtic.
Correct.
Nottingham Forest.
Correct.
Burnley,
you say, is your final one.
That's what I said, brother.
Marcus Speller wins!
It's a 3-1 win.
And Marcus Mount goes wild, ladies and gentlemen. You thought you could turn up here and take my title off me, you mug.
All right, that's 3-1. The final one, Vish, you'd have gone first. It would have been seven clubs in total for Patrick Kluivert.
All seven.
Oh, go for it.
Renford rejects. Doesn't matter, does it?
I'm afraid not. Ajax, Milan, Barcelona, Newcastle United, Valencia, PSV and Lille.
Ooh, Lille.
But it's a 4-1 win technically because you've thrown that one in.
Yeah.
So it's a 4-1 win for Marcus. He maintains his position at the very top of the tree and news just in, he is now also the number one seed.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you got a message for Andy Brassel?
Oh, Andy, you mug. You little dirty little slug, Brassel.
Stop running scared, Andy, and get on a Friday again.
Andy, you know you're beaten. Never turn up here again. Vish, if he'd have said Manchester City, I think we would have gone into that last one.
I know, yeah.
2-1 with Patrick Kluivert, all to play for. Although I think I would have beaten you with Patrick Kluivert, so don't worry about it.
Oh, I'll shank you outside then. We can all make threats.
Don't feel bad about losing, son. People have lost to me before in here. And you know yourself because you're one of them. Right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show sponsored by Betway. It's Friday, come on.
Yeah, have a bit of fun.
I'm still going to stab you.
Have you ever won a game on that? You won one.
You beat me.
I've won two. Fair enough. You know what it's like. You've tasted victory.
Exactly.
Yeah, but so I think the first one I won was without the sound effects.
Oh, so it still counts.
Well, not in my heart.
We were made promises about sound effects that weren't kept, mostly by Pete Donaldson. You'll taste victory again, I'm sure.
Don't you worry.
You're not coming in here again.
Use me as the example. You know, I took a lot of flack from Brassel. I took a lot of defeats, bounced back, and now look at me.
Use Marcus as an example.
Yeah.
If he doesn't play Andy, he wins.
I have beaten Andy once.
Yeah, you have. It was an amazing one as well.
It was, yeah. It was amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show. It's been an absolute pleasure. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye, Luke Moore.
Say goodbye, Vatushna Hantaraja.
Goodbye, Vatushna Hantaraja.
And it's goodbye from me, good people.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.